Most, if not all, popular stories have a happy ending. The fairy tales, everyone lives happily ever after. The westerns, the cowboy in the white hat always wins. In every murder mystery, the detective cracks the case. In every sci-fi movie, the humans defeat the aliens. In every romantic comedy, the couple ends up falling in love by the end. They all have a happy ending. And these are the stories that everybody wants to hear. But stories with a sad ending are not very popular. They don't make the New York Times bestseller list. They don't do well at the box office. Let's face it, the last thing we want is to spend $10 at Cineplex and come out feeling depressed, right? Stories with sad endings leave us with a feeling of despair and hopelessness. Who wants that? Maybe that's why people in our culture spend so much money at the box office each year. They're searching for stories to give them hope. They're looking for enough inspiration to get them through the week. Hope is a necessary ingredient in the recipe of life. Without it, our motivation goes flat. Who wants to get out of bed if there's no hope? Is it just me, or does it seem like there's a lot less of it around these days? I mean, let's face it, the narrative in our secular society doesn't offer people much hope. When God is taken out of the story, life quickly loses its value. Especially when the voices of contemporary culture are telling us that life is nothing more than a cosmic accident, that life is just a fluke with no higher purpose or meaning. A famous scientist named Francis Crick once said, "You're nothing but a pack of neurons." Now, how does that make you feel? Not very special, if you ask me. And if this statement is true, then I'd say that that's a very sad ending to everybody's story. If we're all just a cosmic fluke, it becomes very difficult to defend the value of life. If all we are is a biological robot, what meaning can we find? What purpose is there in living? And what hope can we have for a happy ending? Without God, life doesn't have a happy ending. But fortunately, there is a different narrative, a different story, a true story. It's a story with a happy ending. And that's the story that's found in the Bible. For the Christian, there are good reasons for hope in this life and the life to come because of the promises that we have in God's Word. 1 Peter 1:3 tells us, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope." Today I'm going to be talking about hope, the hope that we have in Christ and the difference that it makes in the life of a believer. And I'm continuing the sermon series that I started last week called Three Little Words Written in Forever. So focusing in on what's good and what really matters. As I mentioned last week, as we read the New Testament, these three little words keep coming up over and over again. And these are three words that we need more than ever. And these three little words are faith, hope, and love. We often find these words clustered together in Scripture. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, it says, "We remember before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." And 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." When you read the New Testament, especially in Paul's letters, three words keep coming up in the conversation: faith, hope, and love. And these three, Paul tells us, are written in forever. When all else has faded away, these three qualities will remain. And that means faith will outlive cynicism, hope will outlast despair, and love will win over hate. And that's the Bible's promise to us. And it's a promise that we can live by. And these three qualities are fundamental also to living an effective and fulfilling Christian life. To grow in our walk with Christ, we need to grow in faith and hope and love. Last week, we started with faith. Today, we're going to be looking at hope. And next week, we'll talk about love. So this morning, I want to share with you about the importance of hope. Now, when the Bible talks about hope, it's not talking about wishful thinking, like, "I hope I win the lottery," or "I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow." That's a willy-nilly hope. When the Bible talks about hope, it refers to the anticipation of God's promises being fulfilled. As believers, we can live our lives empowered by hope. Because there is a God who loves us, there is hope. We have hope because God created us in His image. We have hope because God loved us enough to send His Son to die for our sins. We have hope because God offers us eternal life. We have hope because God has promised us a good future, a happy ending. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Hope is believing the best about the future, not because we believe in fate or just the future itself, but because we believe in the one who holds the future. Our hope isn't just wishful thinking. It's confidence that God will see us through every situation to a glorious eternity. Romans 5, verses 2 through 5 say, "We boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us." Here the Bible is telling us that we're on a journey toward a glorious ending. And hope is an important part of that journey because hope empowers our path to glory. Hope is the fuel that keeps us going. So this morning I want to share three ways to become a person of hope, three choices we can make as believers. The first choice is to dare to endure. Dare to endure. We just read from Romans that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. We see this in many examples in the Bible. For instance, remember the story of Joseph from the book of Genesis. He was a young man with big dreams. And then one day his father honored him by giving him a coat of many colors. But his brothers, his older brothers, were jealous. So jealous that they abducted him and sold him into slavery. Against his will, he was taken from his home. His life was altered forever. He ended up in a foreign country where he served as a trustworthy slave in Potiphar's house. That is, until his master's wife tried to lure him into an immoral relationship. But when he refused, she spitefully and falsely accused him of sexual assault. As a result, he went to prison. And so things were quickly going from bad to worse. He had sunk from slave to prisoner, and things looked pretty grim for poor old Joseph. And then one day, he befriended another prisoner who happened to be the king's cupbearer. And Joseph asked his new friend to remember him when he was released from prison and to advocate for him before Pharaoh. His friend agreed, but after he was released, he forgot Joseph. So there Joseph sat in prison, betrayed by his brothers, falsely accused by those he was loyal to, and deserted by a friend. It's fair to say that his life wasn't turning out the way he thought it would. I think many people in his position would have done just about anything to escape that nightmare. Yet despite all the ways that he was mistreated, Joseph always maintained his integrity. He never gave in to bitterness, he never gave in to temptation, and he never gave in to despair. You can say that despite all these things, Joseph never lost his dream. His hope in God gave him the strength to face each day. He believed that sometime, someday, things would turn around. He believed his story would have a happy ending. As I mentioned before, hope is a necessary ingredient in the recipe of life. For example, many years ago, researchers performed an experiment to see the effect that hope has on those undergoing hardship. So they took two sets of lab rats and they were placed in separate tubs of water. The researchers left one set in the water and found out that within an hour, they had all drowned. But the other set of rats were periodically lifted out of the water and then returned, taken out and then returned. When that happened, the second set of rats swam for 24 hours. So what was the difference? Why did the second set endure while the first set didn't? The scientists determined that it wasn't because they were given a rest, but because they suddenly had hope. Those animals somehow hoped that if they stayed and floated long enough, they would be rescued by someone. Joseph was drowning in prison when God's hand reached down and lifted him out. You know how the story goes. God gave Pharaoh two dreams and no one could interpret them. And that's when the cupbearer finally remembered Joseph. When Pharaoh called for Joseph, he was able to interpret those dreams and give Pharaoh some very good advice. And as a result, Joseph was promoted from prisoner to prime minister. To make a long story short, Joseph was reconciled with his father and brothers, and they lived happily ever after. When Joseph was a young man, God assured him that his life had a purpose. And Joseph was able to endure hardships, every hardship he faced, because of that hope. In the same way, God has given us the assurance that our lives are leading to a happy ending. In fact, every follower of Christ has a happy ending at the end of their story. Their story all ends the same. The Bible says God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. That means that if you know Jesus, you never need to feel hopeless, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You never will be deserted. You won't be left behind. No matter what difficulties you face in life, you know that God has written a happy ending to your story. You may face some hard days ahead, and you might be tempted to give in. That's when you must choose to be a person of hope, because hope fuels our resolve. And if we have hope, we can endure. So be a person of hope and dare to endure. That's the first choice you need to make. The second choice is to dare to engage. Dare to engage. In other words, be someone who stays in the game. Don't just go through the motions. Instead, live life with a sense of purpose. Think of blind Bartimaeus sitting in his usual spot on the road on the outskirts of Jericho. He probably sat there day after day just hoping for money, enough money, a few shekels to buy bread. Now, they didn't have a Hebrew version of Braille back in those days, so his potential in life was very limited. He seemed trapped in his life of dependency and poverty, and change and the chance of improving his life seemed highly unlikely. Many people in this situation may have given up. They would have said, what's the use in trying? Why even bother with this struggle? Nothing I do ever makes a difference anyways. And sometimes life gets us down. We can feel that way. We might think, why try hard? Nothing I do makes any difference. You can imagine working all your life and finding out after working your whole life hard at something that it turned out to be a complete waste of time. That would be a tragedy, wouldn't it? Have you ever wondered how the Olympic silver medalists feel? Ever think about that? All their lives they've worked out and they train and they're dedicated to that sport. For years they look forward to a chance to compete at the biggest stage in the world, the Olympics. And then their moment comes. They line up at the start with the other competitors and the gun goes off and then the race is on. And this is what they've been training their whole lives for. And so they give it everything they've got. And they lose by 1/100th of a second. By that much, they get the silver, yet they were this close. That's the difference between the gold and the silver Olympics, this much. The difference between winning and losing. And of course, the person who wins the gold is famous. The media loves them. And they get all those endorsements because they are the Olympic champion. But who came second? Who got the silver? Nobody cares. Nobody remembers them. All because they missed it by this much. Maybe sometimes you feel like the silver medalist. You feel like you're always in second place, and you wonder, what's the use? Why bother? Why even bother? Nothing I do seems to make a difference anyways. Why bother helping others? Why bother serving? Why pray or come to church or tithe or go to my way to do anything? What difference does it make? So we might choose to disengage, to go missing in action, to drop out or disappear. We might think, hey, no one will miss me anyway. If anyone had a reason to disengage, it was blind Bartimaeus, just sitting on the road outside the city, living in constant darkness. Then all of a sudden, he hears a ruckus coming toward him, a crowd of people talking and shouting. Immediately, he perks up and starts asking questions. What's going on? What's everyone so excited about? At first, no one paid any attention to his inquiry. Why would they? He wasn't anyone important. They were all too busy looking for themselves, see what was happening. And I can picture blind Bartimaeus standing up and just groping and just kind of reaching his hands, trying to grab someone. And then he says to them, Hey, tell me what's going on. When he found out that Jesus was coming his way, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He just kept shouting and shouting. The people around him told him, shh, shush, be quiet. He scolded him for being an embarrassment, told him he was making a fool of himself, but he wouldn't stop. Even though the whole crowd was against him, he wouldn't give up. He just kept shouting and shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus heard his cry, he didn't dismiss it. He didn't rebuke him or embarrass him. Instead, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus replied, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. And the Bible tells us that immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Hope gave Bartimaeus the courage to engage. It gave him the confidence to keep trying. He could have kept to himself. He could have listened to the crowd. He could have thought, what if I make a fool of myself? What if Jesus ignores me? What if he doesn't heal me? Maybe I just better sit here quietly beside the road and do nothing. But that's not how he approached it. Instead of doing nothing, he became engaged. He became a part of the story. And he did it because he was rewarded his sight. I want you to understand that when you give your life to Jesus, you always get the gold medal. Your service will never disappear into some meaningless obscurity. It will be remembered and it will be rewarded. The Apostle Paul gave many years of his life to preaching the gospel. And during his missionary journeys, he overcame everything from violent persecution to shipwrecks. At the end of his life, he sat in a prison cell. He thought about whether or not it was all worth it. And as he reflected on his life and how his story would end, he wrote these words. He said, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Paul understood that every time we serve Jesus with our whole hearts, it's a gold medal performance. When you serve Jesus, you won't go unrewarded. So never disengage. Never give up. Galatians 6:9 gives us these words of encouragement. It says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Because of the hope we have in Christ, we can dare to engage. And so if you want to be a person of hope, then dare to endure and dare to engage. And thirdly, dare to rejoice. Dare to rejoice because when we have Jesus in our hearts, we don't have to wait until the end of the story to celebrate. We can celebrate every single day. That's why Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Hope means that you can choose joy now. You can choose joy now because we know that ultimately God will cause all things to work together for good. And even though we might not see it yet, we can make a decision to be joyful today about what God will bring our way further down the road. For example, Jesus told his disciples, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, heaven may be years or even decades away for some of us, but we can rejoice today because we know that a glorious future awaits us in eternity. There's a story from many years ago about a missionary who was leaving his home in England to share the gospel with a tribe of people who lived on a remote tropical island. But a member of his church protested his calling, saying, it can't be God's will for you to go to that island and live among those people. They're cannibals, and they'll kill you and eat you. To that, the missionary replied, sir, that might be true. But the only difference between my death and yours is that my body will be eaten by cannibals, and yours will be eaten by worms. Now, that might sound like a bit of a morbid response, but really it's not. At least not if you serve a risen Savior. Not if your hope is in Christ. Because nothing in this world is going to last, especially not our mortal bodies. And it can actually be very freeing to acknowledge our own mortality because it helps us focus on a much greater reality, which is the resurrection. For those who are in Christ, that is where our hope lies. Our great hope is in the resurrection. This is what Paul was trying to convey when he wrote to the Corinthian church. He wrote to them, "Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they'll be raised in glory. They're buried in weakness, but they'll be raised in strength. They're buried as natural human bodies, but they'll be raised as spiritual bodies." Our hope is anchored to the promise of the resurrection, a hope that rests on Jesus' death and resurrection. And that's why Paul tells us that this hope does not disappoint us. Because it's not hope in ourselves, it's hope in God. You won't be disappointed, so never despair. Since there is a God who loves us, there is hope. We have hope because God created us in His image. We have hope because God loves us enough that He sent His Son to die for our sins. We have hope because God offers us eternal life. We have hope because God works out all things for good. We have hope because God has promised us a happy ending. For this reason, never give in, never give up, never despair. Instead, we choose hope. Let's pray together. Invite the worship team to come back as we pray. Father, we give You praise this morning. Life without You, Lord, without You, life would be very dreary, very difficult, depressing. But thank You that we can get up every morning with a sense of purpose. Every morning, every day, we can be fueled by hope. Lord, because we know that just as You died and rose again, that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also raise up our mortal bodies to immortality, to live in a glorious future that You've planned for us. Lord, You said that You are going away to prepare a place for us. You are writing the end of our story, a glorious ending, a time of glory in Your presence. And Lord, as we walk and journey, we know that You walk with us, that You empower us and strengthen us to overcome all circumstances. Lord, we may face hard days ahead, but thank You that we can be fueled by the hope that we have in Christ. So Father, refresh us this morning in Your Spirit. Empower us, strengthen our resolve as we walk with You today, that we will walk in hope. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.